Blog Talk Radio.
Behold, I do recognize that all space is sacred, and that on this day we are here to honor the gods of old. Join us today, O Shining Ones. Forgive us of our errors, and grant us your blessings, your balanced wisdom. Earth Mother, hear us. Hear your children. We are humble before you. Mother of all, we pray that you bless and uphold our right as you uphold everything. You who are everything and in all things, it is to you we will all eventually return. Earth Mother, accept our sacrifice. Powers of inspiration, attend to the shrine of our souls. Quicken our tongues that we may work this rite in beauty and in truth. We are gathered to do as the wise ancients have done, to make offerings to the powers, to the gods, to the mighty dead, to the spirits, to the noble she, to keep the druid's way. Bishé Ali.
Bishé Ali. In the depths flow the waters of wisdom. Sacred well flow within us.
Sacred well flow within us. We will now light the sacred fire. Behold, I do light this flame. Knowing that the fire is always burning in our hearts. From deep in the earth, from high above us, from within and without, spans the great world tree. Sacred tree, grow within us.
Sacred tree, grow within us.
By the might of the waters, by the light of the fire, this grove is made whole and holy. By the light of the fire, by the might of the waters, this grove is made whole and holy. By the might of the waters, by the light of the fire, this grove is made whole and holy. Let the sea not rise and all ill turned away. Let the sky not fall and all ill turned away. Let the land hold firm and all ill turn away. fire, the well, the sacred tree. Flow and burn and grow in me, in land, sea, and sky. This is our sacred grove, claimed and hallowed. So mote it be.
So mote it be. Away, away.
Now, we make an offering to the Keeper of Gates. Keeper of Gates, accept this sacrifice of water. And air, and fire, and earth, land, sea, and sky. Gatekeeper, Lord of the Betweens, Keeper of Roads and of Ways, join your magic with ours to guard and ward the gate of this working. Gatekeeper, accept our sacrifice.
Accept our sacrifice.
Now let the sacred center be the boundary of all worlds. Let the fire open the gate. Let the well open the gate. Let the great world tree hold fast the way between. By the Keeper of Gates, and by our will and word, let the gates be open.
Let the gates be open.
Beloved ancestors, old ones, those who came before us, those who are us, remember us as we remember you. Ancestors, accept our sacrifice.
Accept our sacrifice.
Spirits of this land, aid me as I aid you. Spirits, accept our sacrifice.
Accept our sacrifice.
Gods and goddesses of elder days, honor us as we honor you. Shining ones, accept our sacrifice.
Accept our sacrifice.
Let my voice rise with the flame. Let my voice resound in the well. O honored ones, noble she, mighty dead, shining gods and goddesses, hear me. Hear your worshippers and grant us your blessings on this beautiful Mavon day. And it is a beautiful one today.
A beautiful day today.
Absolutely. By the power of land, sea, and sky, by the wisdom of the great world tree, we join our magic with thee. Now, we will engage in our very simple portion of this ritual. There's no spell today and no asking for anything more than a general message and a poem to follow. In fact, I will have Hostess Janice draw the card.
Okay.
Here, I will take this.
Just one card?
Yes. Maybe that's the one, as it's falling on the floor.
Not a bad card there.
No, this one is the Six of Cups. As a general message to Janice and I, maybe to anyone involved in the show, maybe to anyone listening. This is a card of gifts and of positive emotion, often associated with friends of the past.
Okay.
And if anyone doesn't know the card, it's literally a picture of someone sort of gifting a cup full of flowers.
Beautiful flowers to a young maiden.
Yes. And
it's a pretty card.
So this, to me, is a sign of working well with others, building upon positive emotional relationships, which I think we've developed in the last year or so,
yeah,
including Janice and I, who are both in Cafe Fairfax today. We're in the studio today.
We're in Cafe Fairfax.
High atop a hill, of course, out in nature amongst the autumn leaves.
It's quite beautiful in here. Happy Maybon. Happy Maybon.
Autumn equinox.
Yes.
So I see this as a very positive card. I'm just getting the earth to draw one more as a message. And I'm pulling it upright. Gosh, we get this card an awful lot.
I get that card a lot.
The Queen of Swords, which is keep going forward with. Now, I'm reading this in combination with the other one before it, is keep going forward, as we've said many times, with the
keep
King of Swords.
For perfection and gifts.
Cutting through the air with calm leadership to achieve our goals. And my question for this was very general. It might not necessarily have been related to the show, but since Janice was here, I was thinking, you know, the show, and since we're doing a show. But
well, I think it's trying to tell me to calm down. I was really agitated this morning.
Yes.
So.
Agitated, and that's how I get. I was actually feeling that way last night. I was feeling very, all of the, while at work, all of the insecurities, all of the thing, you know, being a 41-year-old guy, and I don't have a car right now. That's changing soon, though, actually. I didn't prioritize it before because everything I need in my life I can walk to or ride my bike, including this radio show. I just sort of walk out into the backyard. We have a music studio that I helped build. And so it's a good two cards, I think, because it's a reminder. And they were both upright, not inverted.
They were both upright. And I see it also as a renewal, which... Well, once you come down from the heat and the fun of summer, it's now the time to put your seed together and to bring in your harvest. So it's a renewal time for everybody, not just Daniel and I. And I see this as a gift of renewal. And the Queen of Swords is just telling us to move forward, to calm down, and to move forward and to accept these gifts of harvest and go speedily along our way.
Because there are gifts involved with the two cards we drew, the Six of Cups, and as well as good friendship. Six of Cups is also considered, like some people call it, like the little help from your friends kind of card.
Yes.
And so that all is well on that front.
Yes.
And I think I might just, since we're still here and the gates are still open, let's draw one more for the heck of it, right off the top. Again, I'm going to say this one was inverted, even though it was sideways, kind of when I pulled it up. And again,
King of Wands.
I'm getting this still as a calm down. I think it's complimenting the one before because it's an inverted King of Wands, and King of Wands can be very much action. It's not saying don't do action, but it's saying that right now our vision might be because I also get
a little agitated, and we should calm down.
And I think sometimes of King of Wands, I think of clear vision.
And it's
to me, it's just complimenting the other two in a way of saying, don't let the emotionality and these other things get in the way of your action and vision, and that things might be a little slower than you would like for your successes.
But you still have to keep plugging on and keep motivating yourself and keep going.
Yeah. So, and it was funny. It was kind of sideways, but I usually consider that inverted, just like when you do the Celtic cross. So I went ahead and said, I think that's inverted. But the presence of the king and the queen are still there.
Yes.
We have the Warden Lady represented.
Yes, we do.
Saying to calm down. Your actions don't have to be quite as fiery as you think, and to calm that fire down a little, because Wands is a fire card.
Yes.
And it's, this one is inverted, so it's saying, cut through the air with calm, intelligent action. Let go of being the fiery king a little bit. And that's kind of how I would interpret that. But all in all, I think it's a good
reading.
Especially with the Six of Cups in the beginning, because
yes,
so much of what we've been doing in the last year has been about friendships and
meeting new projects, meeting new friends, meeting old friends,
and
cultivating the harvest.
And sometimes getting help from
friends,
old friends, as
yes,
well, and new ones. And this one, Dragon's Blood.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Dragon's Blood. Big fan.
This has come to be... Now, I know you're fairly new to the show when we use this. It's almost as if when I smell this incense now, it makes me think of the show. like if I'm anywhere now, and I, because Kevin and I, it was the one we always burnt in here in the studio. And so now whenever I smell Dragon's Blood, it's... just makes me think Main Street Universe now every time.
Cool.
They burn it a lot at Sticks and Stones, actually. Every time I walk in there, I think, oh, I'm on the air. And we're still mid-ritual here, folks. I'm away from the computer. I'm going to go check it very briefly after we're done. If Brett or someone is on the line, he wasn't when I started. Because of the conditions we have in my living situation, I have to put my computer on the porch and then come out to the studio for all the things that are here to use. Okay, so thus ends our very simple act of power. In today's case, it was a divination.
Yes.
About calming down to get clear vision and to let go of some of that fire. Because I've definitely been in that place recently, of being kind of irritable, definitely feeling the day job. But then again, some people wish they had a day job, so that everybody has their own level of...
Everybody has their own level of comfort and...
and things to deal with.
And being uncomfortable at the same time.
Yeah. And now I'm going to read a poem, and this is a Maybon poem, and I got this from Oak Leaves Magazine, from the Druidic Order of Henri Octane, the ADF. And this one is by Laurie Langkelly Brothers. Maybon, Autumn Equinox, Sacred Day. Day named the honor of the great god Maybon. Day of equal light and darkness. Day of Second Harvest. Day in which we honor Maybon and Modron and all the gods and goddesses and give thanks for the bounty and the fruits of the mother. We anticipate the changing of the season, leaving the warmth of summer and entering the chill of winter. We look with awe upon the migration of Gaia's creatures. We mourn the descent, the Sun King, yet we celebrate the coming of the crone and reflect upon her wisdom in the approaching cool times. Shining ones, ancestors, spirits of this place, we honor you and give thanks for joining us today. For the bountiful harvest, for the endless seasons, we offer our gratitude. Mighty ones, today we reap the fullness of your love.
Reap the fullness of your love. We reap the fullness of your love.
Absolutely, and that was Laura Langkelly Brothers. So I am a member of the Henri Octane Facebook page, so... maybe one of them will say, you read my poem today.
That'd be a blessing if she does.
Yeah. long as we don't get sued or anything like that. We're not making any money. No, we're not.
No.
Or as I say, if a celebrity ever wants me to sue me for something, I'm kind of saying, well, you know, thanks for the attention. But now we shall pour the ale of inspiration. Drawing water from the wells of wisdom, we open our hearts to the flow of the blessings of the god and the goddess, the ancient ones, the noble she, the mighty dead. We stand amidst all worlds by the fire, well, and tree, the gods, the noble she. Thank you for your balanced wisdom. Triple kindred, gods and dead spirits, thank you for upholding your magic in our divination. Keeper of the gates, we are thankful. Let all things be as they were before. Save the magic we have made here today. Today's case, it was a simple divination and a poem and a recognition. We do give thanks for the harvest, as this is the time for the reaping of grains. May all things return to their natural state. May the gates be closed.
May the gates be closed.
Thank you, O Great Mother. The fire, the well, the sacred tree, flow and burn and grow in me.
Flow and burn and grow in me.
As land, sea, and sky reveal their might, may all be blessed this Maybon night. Bishay Ali.
Bishay Ali.
And now I'm visualizing a clearing of this place. We all have our own way of doing this. All things have returned to their natural state. In the Druid's way, all space is sacred. For those wondering and for those that know me, so we do not cast a circle. All things, may they return as they were.
Samo to be. And Bishay Ali.
That's right. Which is a similar term, actually, in the Gaelic. And we can actually discuss Maybon a little bit while I go check on the phone lines. Because afterwards, we are now doing some readings. And we're also going to be discussing the holiday a little bit. Something I don't always do when I do ritual shows. Just because I also feel there's so many shows that do, that I oftentimes kind of move on to something else. But today, we felt like doing that a little bit. And, Janice.
Yes.
Any thoughts on autumn equinox, Maybon, and the like?
Well, it's my favorite time of year because...
Fall is mine.
The fall. Because the leaves are pretty with my favorite colors, red, orange, yellow, brown.
Oh, yeah.
The days are shorter, which I don't like, but the heat isn't as tense as it is in the summer. And usually the people are friendlier because, you know, they're going a little quickly to where they need to go. And even though summer is over, we are having that renewal process. The days are getting shorter. The nights are getting longer. It's smoothing from September, and it will go smoothly until October 31st, which is Samhain for us, or Halloween for Christians or other people. And it's just an amazing flow that comes at this time. It's really a really rebirthing type of flow where you take the first renewal, which is the spring equinox, then go to summer solstice with the longest day, and now to Mabon or fall equinox. So it's just another renewal flow.
Yeah. And definitely, and it's an amazingly beautiful one today.
Yes, it's very beautiful.
We seem to be very blessed with great days on our ceremonial shows. They seem to be like, these are the most beautiful days ever.
Very nice.
And I'm now asking if there's anybody in the chat room or anybody out there listening in internet radio land if they would like a reading. And we'll continue our discussion about the holiday. Perhaps maybe even drift into a little bit about some herbal tea recipes. And I see Veronica typing. Hello, Marcy. Hello, Veronica. Good to see everybody here. Yes, always take the following card. And it did. That first one did
fall. Oh, I did take the following one.
As usual, we were... Oh, okay. She said we were, you know, kind of getting things together. And as we were doing so, I handed Janice very quickly the deck, and she was moving them around a bit, and it fell off the chair that we were reading from. So, yeah, that definitely was one that just literally fell off the table, or in this case, a chair. And I'm going back into the studio. I do a little check on the chat room. It was an amazing day outside. I don't know if people can hear the occasional birds.
It's a beautiful day.
And one story, let's see if I say this right, Kaseg Vedi. I don't know why it's harder when you know you're on the radio to pronounce words that are tough to say. But the Harvest Mare, it's an autumn tradition, and this is... It's a decoration made out of the last grains harvested in the field. And there is a game. Are you trying to see something? this is an Oak Leaves magazine. And the ADF puts out a quarterly. I think it's a quarterly.
Yes.
And it's really a great magazine. It's, you know, like anything else, it's tradition updates. And they also have a fairly large poetry section in the back. And they often, of course, have things to... I believe there's a crossword puzzle, which I never do.
And other information, and pictures.
Yeah, pictures, updates. But they often have interesting articles. And that's actually the source I'm drawing this particular one from today. It's a really cool-looking bowl right there. I don't know if you can see that.
A very nice bowl.
But this is one, and this is by Kirk Thomas, and he mentions it's a game of skill where they make this decoration, and it's a mare, a horse. It's called a Harvest Mare, and they put this thing together, and the winning person is supposed to put this thing on their person and sneak it into the house somehow, with other people being aware of
they having the ball.
Yeah, of them having it. And other people, I think, are supposed to fake having it, if I got that right. Sometimes
okay.
They hide it under their clothes. But here's the thing where this can be a real bummer. You don't want to be the one who's honored to be chosen for this.
Okay.
Because if you don't sneak it into the house properly, someone is supposed to throw water, I guess, at you, like a pan of water. And if this thing gets wet, then you're the guy that has to sit during the So basically, the goal is supposed to get it dry into the house or table or wherever the assigned place is that you're supposed to sneak it into. If it ends up being wet, then you're the guy that sits at the end of the feast table with no beer.
So
truly a bummer.
Okay.
Truly bad news.
You don't want to be that guy.
And so you'll sit there while everybody else is feasting. However, if you do accomplish it, you're supposed to get as much beer as you want. Yeah, you're literally the one that can.
I want to be that guy.
That's
I want
right.
to be the mega guy.
You get to have all the beer you want. And probably in some cases, you know, the best cut of the steak or whatever, you're the one that wins. But if you lose, you literally just sit there empty
and look
at
everybody eat and drink.
Yes.
What a bummer.
That's a very strange tradition. I would just, like, not be there every time they were playing that game.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. I was over there. I was behind that tree. I had to use, you know,
had
to
use
a leak or
something. And I just stayed in there.
Who wants to lose that game? Everybody else had to. That is, of course, unless you're trying to abstain.
Yes, if you don't drink, then it's normal.
But of course, back then, you're talking about in a time where people probably drank beer more than water.
Yes.
And it was just, I am actually going to do a show about beer at some point. And
show.
Yeah, because beer actually has a very fascinating history. And the Egyptians used to drink
a lot
of beer. Now, it is important to remember that the beer that was made by some ancient people was, a little bit more nutritious, even though nowadays these microbrews are making them a little closer to that, and also less alcohol content. Some of them were only like 3%, maybe less.
Yes.
But were very healthy. Some of the grains actually had a protein value. I mean, of course, yes, you're drinking an alcoholic beverage. I'm aware of that.
Yes.
And for those of you who are trying to abstain, I'm respectful of that as well. I'm just saying it's just how the culture was. And they drank an awful lot of beer during the day because water could oftentimes have issues, especially
polluted.
In states of civilization. So
yeah.
If you're in a city, if you're somewhere like that, I mean, yeah, drinking water from a natural stream that, you know, where there's no bad bacteria or something, that's one thing, but water that sits there as a water supply and people are throwing old meat or whatever.
Yeah, and the Nile. I've been to Egypt.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Nile.
There's
really filthy.
Yeah, there's a lot of
it's beautiful to go down, but I wouldn't want to drink the water.
And like in England, during times during the plague, and you're going forward a little bit in the future, the water was horrible in the cities, and you know, there's a reason why the plague spread as well as it did. And in part, the plague spread as much as it did because of the myths about cats, and the cats are the natural enemy of the rats, of course.
Yes.
So
still are.
And so by decreasing the cat population, you took away the rat's predator because the cats were seen as devilish and evil and all that.
Mm.
And that actually helped to spread the plague. I mean, I think that was the whole ball of wax, but it was something that contributed. So once again, an overreaction by authorities and an overreaction to cats and, you know, witches and all that caused the plague to spread. So anyway, that was back to our point here, and I'm jumping around, but it's kind of casual day today. It was the harvest mare we were discussing, and that was, you know, they make this thing out of things and try not to get it wet. And if it gets wet and you don't get it to the place you're supposed to get it into, could be a house, could be, depending on the nature of the competition, if it gets wet, no beer for you and you literally sit at the end of the table just sitting there with no
looking at everybody having fun.
Exactly.
Eating good, having fun.
And I found that to be an interesting little article here in the Henri Octavain Oak Leaves magazine, which I get. It's a quarterly. It's also where I drew the poem from. And one thing about autumn that I really notice, me personally, and it is my favorite season, is that it also, and this could be different for some, and I imagine it's both spring and autumn, because both times of the year are the time when they say that the veil between this world and
it's thinner. Yeah.
And It is a time where I have started lots of creative projects, you know, lots of projects involving creativity or just coming up with something, including this show. We started the show in October of last year, actually November 1st or 2nd, I believe.
Ah, almost the first year.
So we're almost on a one-year anniversary when I decided to go on the air with Main Street Universe. And I owe a little bit to Kevin Baird for that, because I wasn't going to until I got the good microphones plugged in. And Kevin said, just get on the air first and we'll work all that out later. Of course, it's been a year later, longer than I want. But
yeah,
as our reading today suggested, sometimes we have to be patient.
Patient and remain calm.
Yes, because so. It's much better now that we talk to, you know, a few thousand people a week or whatever it is here, you know, than if it just didn't exist. And if I just wasn't even doing this at all, because it's been a great thing to do once or a couple times a week, depending on the week.
It's a great motivator.
In between, and it's a reminder, too.
Yes.
Well, I used to open by playing a song. Of course, I just stopped doing that because, honestly, over the phone, that sounds a little rough. And I'm eventually going to record our theme song.
Yes.
Which we're working on that now. Meaning there used to be an opening riff that was a regular song I opened with. And I'm going to get a recorded version, like a really good professional-sounding version of that riff, and use that as our opener. So that's another little bit of news that I'm working on. I'm going to go check the phone lines once again, and I'm going to put a song on just for a few minutes, get my thoughts together, and we'll come back with our show.
All right.
Discussing autumn equinox. And an open line for readings as well, and I'm going to go check on those as I'm walking outside right now. And it looks like we have... Okay. This thing starts to be... Yep, it is. It's, and I agree, Marcy in the chat room mentioned the thinning veil. And I
Hi, Marcy.
It's, this is the time, and I really feel it during this time of year. I feel it in the spring, too. It's a little different. It's kind of different how it comes on for me in the spring. There's really something about the autumn where those experiences really kick in. The wild dreams kick in.
Yeah, they start to manifest more strongly.
And Marcy says hi back.
I love the fall.
Absolutely. I'm going to go ahead and put a song in and get some thoughts together, and we'll continue. Wow, there's all these extra songs in here. That's because now we have, of course, Jessie. She has, what a go-getter she is. She has some nice ratings. Very nice lady. Glad to have her around. Dreams, Daymare Visions, etc. Yes, I agree. And I'm going to go ahead and put the song. What's one I haven't played in a little while? Except for Nick Berry's song, because that's a little too obnoxious for the mellow mood we're in. Not that I don't like it. It's just, it's Nick. Who I saw Nick Sunday. I actually see Nick every week. He's actually a very good friend of mine. And one day he may become a regular host. He might start showing up on a nighttime, if we ever switch to nighttime. And actually I'm going to go ahead with Six Sun again. I've played it before, but we're going to go ahead and do that one. It's a Woven Green. One of the ones I like. Okay, that was Woven Green, the song with Six Sun. I've played it before. We are going to get new songs in here as things move along, including from Tom Teasley. And it's okay, even though we haven't had a date yet set for him. But I've talked to him in person, and it is cool to go ahead and mention. So, Tom Teasley is an amazing, amazing, amazing percussionist. And I encourage anyone listening to Google up the name Tom Teasley. It'll probably come up fairly easily. I'm trying to look for website information. But he's agreed to be a future guest, and we're setting a date. Again, it's someone I know in person. He was a one-man band for a play version of the Ramayana, in D.C. in a little thing. And it was interesting to see him just be this sort of one-man band for this play. He's just one of the most amazing percussionists you'll ever meet. And he literally is a drummer for the State Department. That is his job. How he got that gig, many musicians would like to know. And he literally travels around the world teaching people and learning how to play various hand drums and percussion instruments.
Sounds like a great job. I got to get in on that.
He has well supplements income, I guess, with doing these different theatrical things, doing plays, and, of course, selling CDs and doing shows. I recently saw him play at a Unitarian church, and he was pretty amazing percussionist. So he's a future guest. Another future guest, since we're on that topic, is I do have, we'll be discussing education, and I guess it's the month of October. I don't always have so many guests that are so pagan as I do for some of the ones lined up in October. As everybody knows, that's my religion. I try not to make my show always about my religion, but quite a few pagan guests in October. One of them will be author Thea Sabin, who I've talked to, and she's into education, and I'm going to steer that conversation towards education and the importance of education and certain issues within the educational system and the relationship between paganism and education, because in my opinion, true dedicated pagans sort of respect intelligence and respect being well,
so
researched, and which can make a talk show being intimidating sometimes, because you always know you have some well-read listeners that are going to correct you, but that's okay. That keeps us sharp.
Yeah,
and just in the nature of intelligence being respected, and I work with a lot of young people, and I'll say that they're all a lot smarter in some ways than I was at that age. Well, they're a lot more sophisticated. They have a lot more coming at them. A lot more,
yeah, they do,
actually. They have more raw information coming at them. I'm not exactly sure what they're doing with all that information. But it's just, you know, in this age when you can look something up so quickly, I couldn't imagine, you know, having the internet to do a book report back in the day.
Oh, God. You had to actually read a book to get information.
Or go to the...
Believe it or not.
Walk all the way to the library.
Maybe
on the way to the library.
Library card and, you know, be quiet with everybody else. And
maybe back then on the way to the library, like say when I was in high school, you stop by at your buddy's house instead.
Yeah.
Maybe you participate in some activities that are maybe not exactly conducive to... reading at the library. Or it could be a girlfriend, right? You stop by your girlfriend's house instead.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. It just, now you kind of just go home real quick or on your phone and go, oh, I got a book report to do.
Yeah,
let me look at my phone.
So spoiled. So spoiled. So
it's also a good thing, too. We'll probably do a show in the future about some people will look at technology as an absolute savior, and I'm certainly not one of those. I think they're tools. I think they're neutral. I don't think they're bad. I don't think they're the savior either.
No, they're not the savior.
People talk in those terms, though, that like, oh, well, if everybody has the information, you know, save the world. Well, yeah, but what do you do with that information? It might mean something as well. I'll probably do a show in the near future about that. So anyway, future show guest, potentially Tom Teasley. He agreed to. We're setting it up. I'm not going to announce the other potential ones that are ones I want to announce just because they haven't given me a date. In Tom's case, I know him personally, so I go ahead and announce that. At some point it'll happen.
Yeah.
And And also, of course, Thea Sabin, I said, and we'll be discussing paganism and education. Also, Zef Binder from the Temple of Thelema, October 10th, I believe, he'll be on joining us. What I wanted to do was start a series of shows about great mystics from the past. And I wanted to, as one of those, you know, there's different ones, there's Agrippa and all these other great, you know, mystics from the past, including mystics from other religions, not necessarily pagan mystics. It could be just like a really, you know, reformer Catholic or something, and there's a few that come to mind. And, of course, I think, you know, you're doing an honest show about groundbreaking mystics or influential ones, then a discussion of Aleister Crowley would have to come up.
Yes.
But he's controversial. And so I sent the call out for a few people that I thought would be, well, okay, if their belief system is centered a little bit around Thelema and Book of the Law and all this sort of thing, let's get an expert. They seem to want to talk less about Crowley, though, and more about his particular version of Temple of Thelema. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to structure that interview according to whatever information he gets to me, which he has, and go with that. I was a little bit nervous about it at first because I know they're kind of, or historically have been kind of secretive, OTO, and I was like, should I even be doing a show about them? I was kind of trying to do like one about Crowley and having somebody come in and comment. We'll see how it evolves. So far, it looks like he'll be on October 10th, and we'll do that. There's as well some other developments in the Main Street Universe world. Of course, we have a new show on Friday nights at midnight, and that is Activating Compassion in the Midnight Hour with Jessie Ann Nichols George. And she had some pretty good ratings. Good time slot, really. I think she might have the best one of us all. She's got Friday at midnight for a sort of life coaching and advice kind of show. People having a couple of drinks on Friday or whatever.
Yeah, call her up.
Call up. And, what do I do about this?
Tell me what I do with my life, Jesse. Yeah. So.
I don't know if it's exactly a Dear Abby show, but it's a show about changing your default positions. That's kind of how I view her. She's kind of law of positivity, power of positive thought and compassionate thought, and changing your default positions so that when you confront a situation, you're not always seeing it as so doom and gloom. A little bit like our reading today.
Yeah.
And, of course, Zauriana Radio on Thursdays with Evan Poss. And I kind of, there's a bit of fun with Evan because I work with Evan at
Trader Joe's.
Trader Joe's. And we were instructed to stop talking about the show. Of course, I've been told that like 1,000 times, you know.
Uh-oh.
But it was the first time he's been instructed. Of course, I'm their number one sales guy at the demo station. If you're familiar with Trader Joe's, they have this. Or I used to be. I don't know if I'm still number one, but I used to be. So it's kind of one of those, you know, how do we tell him to stop without telling him to stop actually being talkative? Because it works.
Yeah.
What happens there is that people don't understand when they're being overly corporate and using corporate-sounding words that just kind of sound like blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah, blah.
And hello to any of my bosses if they're listening. is that people want that guy, though. Like when I'm there and I'm handing out the snacks or whatever, people want to come in and go, hey, where's that goofy radio guy at? You know what I mean? Like they want to...
When I went in there, I wanted Daniel to wait on me.
Right. Because people are, especially in a store like that, they expect you to, you know, kind of almost the image of the employee at those kind of stores are, you're kind of, you know, a little bit wacky and hippie and hipster or whatever. And part of sales and part of being a good salesman is, of course, as we all know, selling yourself.
Yes.
So talking about my show, in my opinion, in no way inhibits from selling the product. In fact, I think it helps dramatically. And from doing it, I've had guests come on the show, including another future guest who I won't mention yet. Janice might actually know her. She's a local gal.
Okay.
And Mark Sutton, the author of Heart Healthy Pizza, and quite a few other people, the yoga lady we had on.
Yeah, that was very sweet.
And I couldn't believe she was 50 to look at.
50, she looked great.
She was
50.
Yeah,
great.
Looking good.
Yeah. Makes me want to do yoga. So.
A lot of women I notice that do yoga have that really kind of sort of lean, you know, lean muscular look about them. And she wasn't tall. She was fairly short, but very lean and very looked much younger than 50. I was thinking she was, I don't know, I won't even say because in case she's listening, but I didn't think it was 50. And we were discussing autumn a little bit. Now we'll kind of roll on back to that. And another aspect to this time is, well, some people call it the second harvest.
Yes.
It's a time of reaping, a time of, what do they call it, you know, the grain reaper, not the grim reaper.
Yeah, the grain
and
reaper.
At this time, you know, the great colors that are associated with the holiday are like
red, yellow, orange, brown.
Is brown. Of course, the leaves. And some say it's a good time for manifestation style magic or just thankfulness of abundance from the reaping. And the gods and goddesses associated with this time, of course, there's Mabon and Modron, and Persephone and Demeter. All depending, of course, on your pantheon.
Everybody
has a
depending on your pantheon.
Different pantheons. And I'm not reading from anything, folks. I'm just winging it. As you know, I don't do the show in front of the computer and read stuff and look it up really quickly. And I view this time we were discussing before with the thinning of the veil as a time when I really start to notice my dreams and really start to notice these powerful, lucid dreams. I mean, I get them all year long, but this is the time when I really, like, the other day I took an afternoon nap, and it was like, I think I had, like, 8 or 9 dreams that just, you know, when you kind of wake up and go back to sleep.
Yes.
I had a bit of a sinus cold, and so I would wake up, and then I would fall back to sleep, and each time I did was just this really memorable, powerful, powerful dream, and one of them was that I was some terrible dark wizard in a past life. I've had dreams like that before where I was like somebody awful in a past life. And I don't know if those are genuine glimpses or if they're just like lessons, you know, like that in your mind is giving you a language that you understand.
Or a picture that you understand.
Of saying, well, this is why you think like this now, because back then you were this awful person. I've had those kind of things before. Some of them even just involving inaction, meaning I had one where I was a guy, I was literally a German Nazi guard in a concentration camp. And I wasn't the guy that was doing the bad stuff, but I was a guy that disagreed with it, but wasn't doing anything.
Yes.
And I had a gun in my hand. I was like, I could have done something, you know, and that's what the dream felt like. I was like the guy that wasn't obeying his conscience and rebelling against this thing. So sometimes it'll be like really specific like that, you know, where it's not exactly you're the evil one, but you're the one.
The complacent one.
Yeah, the one not taking action when you know something's wrong. So I've always valued the idea that we are part of the future and now, and that we have to, you know, when we see an injustice, we have to take action. I know I'm drifting a bit, but we're talking about dreams, and that can take you in a lot of directions. I've had some pretty epic ones. And some of them you wake up and you try to, you ever done that thing where you go back to sleep and try to, I want to go back.
Oh, yeah, I want to go back to the dream. Yeah, I did that actually recently. So
that particular one, no, I didn't really want to go back there, but we need to revisit that.
Yeah.
But some, you know, some people might think they're genuine glimpses. Some people think it's just a lesson, and that's the language that your higher self uses to teach you a lesson about something. as I light the dragon's blood again. And again, this is my favorite time of year. I love the
fall.
The colors, the slightly breaking of the heat, even though it's still warm and lovely out and all of that. And it, the nice breeze and that feeling of creativity that returns. To me, literally, and I don't know if it's because I was born in the winter, I'm born in January.
But when the air
starts to cool down, are you another Aquarius also?
Yeah.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah.
When the air cools down, it feels like the cells in me just come alive. I just feel, I don't mind the summer. I don't complain about the weather much. I worked outside doing construction for much of my life, so I just got used to whatever the weather is and deal with it. But I do have my favorites, and certainly autumn is.
Autumn's a favorite.
Yeah.
Me too.
I feel more alive as the weather cools down. I've always been fascinated by the cold side of the year anyway. Like, I've always had a fascination of just looking at how people survive and how they managed during this time. Like, when you see, you know, people kind of huddled in their houses with the little fire and the little smoke is coming out of the fireplace.
Yeah.
And I think of it in ancient times. You know, I think of,
yeah,
you know, what did people do back then? And in my mind, as a kid, would always wander to that of during the dark half of the year, you know, people had to prepare for it. They couldn't go to the...
They can't go to Walmart and get supplies.
They had to prepare for it. Which is why people, it was so important to honor and feel the importance of seasons, because you had to. I mean, it was tied into your everyday existence and your everyday life. I often wonder, Evan and I had that discussion, Evan from our host from Zariana Radio had the discussion about, will technology one day get so advanced that it'll have this sort of reverse effect of, well, we can live totally natural again.
Revolution.
Because it's so advanced, right?
Yeah.
It'll be so advanced that it's not harmful to anything, and we can sort of live natural again, which reminds me, I just thought of another guest that's coming on soon. Speaking of living naturally, her name, I don't have it in front of me, but her first name's Elizabeth. She's part of a group here in D.C. called, I think it's called Hobbit House D.C. You have to see these things.
Really?
They literally are like these houses. She wants to start like a pagan community somewhere in the woods of like Northern Virginia. And these houses that they want to construct, and that there is people that construct them, they look directly out of the Lord of the Rings. Like, it literally looks like, I think of all the creatures in the fantasy books, most people would be like, oh, I would like to be an elf. But honestly, the hobbits were the best house builders, I think, in that realm. They had those coolest looking little round houses.
That's
exactly what they look like. I mean, they are, some of them are like slammed into the side of a hill, you know what I mean? And they're just the most beautiful thing. They show the inside. And because of the round features, they're surprisingly spacious when you walk inside of one, because, you know, it's just these great...
I got to definitely walk inside one of these.
Yeah, and I'll put some pictures up, because she's going to be a guest. I believe it's going to be a Sunday night coming soon in September. It's going to be a special Sunday night episode, and so is the one with Thea. And so she's going to be talking about, when she's a guest, she's going to be talking about these houses and that she's going to build these, and... I guess they're going to try to start up their own little village somewhere out there. But you got to see these buildings. They're just amazing. I was just very impressed. And I've done construction, so I understand how these things work. And I'm looking at some of the circularness of these. I'm like, that's very interesting. And, of course, but they'll have modern accommodations in them.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly, I think they try to build them sort of, you know, like green technology. So they try to make them as efficient as they can. I don't know how much the reality is of them actually going out and starting this village. But just looking at the houses alone, I thought was cool enough to talk about and then put some pictures up. And she'll also be talking about a return to naturalness and sort of like we were talking about, the combination of technology and nature and going green with some new technologies and old. and her name is Elizabeth. And I'll get the information for that up on the Main Street Universe Facebook page a little later. And for, also for those listening, the phone lines are open. I'm about to go outside and check on them again.
Yeah.
As we're in the studio and outside until my little brother sends me my computer back. But that's fine. He repaired it for free, so I guess I can't complain. And I can complain. He's family. Give me my freaking computer. if you can't complain to family, then...
Who can you complain to? Here we go.
So, yeah, she'll be on. It'll be a Sunday night episode. Elizabeth from the Hobbit House DC or something like that, her group is called. I believe it's September 23rd, a Sunday. So... I'm going to go check the phone lines because we are doing free readings for anybody.
Yes, we will.
And I'm walking outside on this pretty amazing day.
A very amazing day.
Got some other folks. I see a couple guests in the chat room. Yes, I agree with Marcy. The greenhouses need to be made affordable as well. I have no idea the price tags of these things. And I'm going to ask in the chat room if anybody would like a card or two or three. Somebody logged out. Sure, just one. Okay, Janice, I'm putting it in your hands.
Ah, my hands. Okay.
Marcy asked for, she said, just one.
Just one. Okay. Well, let me shuffle the deck again, Marcy.
Actually, I'll go back out there to see if she has any commentary to the
okay.
ones.
All right.
Water.
All right. Let me shuffle it three times.
And also, I'd like to remind, we'll be back to being a little more topical soon. We've had a couple kind of laid-back episodes, and we're going to... Today was Ritual Day, which we still honor this.
And I still want to have my talk about food and enzymes and all that wonderful stuff.
So we'll be returning to topical stuff soon. Okay, I'll head back out there. And Janice is shuffling and drawing.
Okay. How many cards, Marcy?
She said just one.
Oh, just one. Okay.
And we do also, after that one, we have a caller.
Ah, okay. Okay, I have the sun reversed. Okay. Sun is usually a very powerful card. A card of good tidings and a movement of the sun being very healing, a card of abundance. So what's going on that it's reversed? So
go ahead and draw two more now.
Okay.
I don't want to end on a sun reversed.
Okay.
Okay. Something's delayed in liberation here, so we're...
Well, you have the sun reversed, you have the King of Cups, and you have the Emperor reversed as well. So, yeah, there's going to definitely be a delay in decision-making. Both the King and the Emperor are a man that has a position of power over you or possibly over you. I feel this is more job-related, even though the Cups is about love. But it's definitely a delayed in action, a delayed in power, and there's a male figure hovering over this decision. Let me pull out another card. As you know, I like fours.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
then you have the King of Swords. Okay. So you have the King of Cups, you know. Not necessarily have to be a romantic figure, but... a person that holds ideal of love, could be a relative, doesn't have to be a romantic person, with the sternness of the King of Swords.
Also creativity.
Excuse me?
can also be like creativity, like creativity of something artistic. Oh, sorry, you said swords.
Yeah.
The earlier one was a cups king. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Don't let me interrupt you again.
I won't. So
smack me next time.
Okay, good. So king of swords, definitely stern person ready to fight, ready for battle, especially this particular picture, because he's up there and he's got this stern look on his face and he's got the sword and it's ready for attack, or it's ready, he's got it poised for attack. So, I'm still finding a delay, especially with this person, a delay in progress. I know that you're trying to get something going on, so it shows a lot of another delay, actually. Another time to be patient.
She said payday isn't until Friday.
Oh, okay.
The more impatience like we were having.
Yeah.
No, but I still see it's pretty good with the King of Swords ending it, though.
Yes.
That the action's coming. But, yeah, there's a delay before that. You got a king, some creativity with the King of Cups. Sorry, I got the phone away from me. The creativity with the King of Cups. The Emperor reversed some things to get some structural things to get in order.
Yes.
I think regulation, law, all those kind of things. You got to get some of this stuff.
Got to get the business going, but you have to do a lot of paperwork and a lot of things that you don't particularly care for.
It's coming.
Yes, it is coming, and it's going to be swift when it actually hits.
Maybe not feeling liberating right now. We do have a caller. I'm going to go ahead and go back to the computer and take this caller. And let me... walking outside again. Anybody can do a show from, like, just the studio, right?
Yeah.
We have the inside, outside. Aha. Uh-huh. She said, I know what it is, and I caught it already anyway.
you usually say that, so.
951, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi. It's Donna.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, how are you? Can I just get a general reading? Would that...
Yes.
Sure. Let me reshuffle. Right.
Thank you.
Are you having beautiful weather where you are, Donna?
Oh, yeah. I'm in San Diego.
Beautiful day. Amazingly beautiful.
It is.
Good day to hit a drop.
All right.
We're in a music studio, by the way, folks, for those of you that don't know.
Okay.
Oh.
Oh.
You still in the air?
Are you still there, Donna?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, good.
I think she accidentally pressed the off button there, but it didn't turn all the way off, which was good.
Yes.
Good.
All right. The first one is the Three of Wands. Okay, but I'm going to pull out four. That's the first one. The Tower reversed. Having some difficulty. Knight of Pentacles.
That's a very unique shuffling style you have there.
And Temperance. Okay. All right. You're definitely waiting for something. And I feel it's a little bit of... the Knight of Pentacles is here, and it's upright. It's a little bit of waiting for money, not necessarily a payday like Marcy, but you're having some issues with finance, and you're waiting for it to come into completion. Now, the Tower reverse, usually the Tower is kind of a little nasty card.
It can be good, like a great change is going to happen by something dramatic, not traumatic. Literally the lightning striking the building, and everybody falls out.
Everybody falls out. And
now reversed, you can think of it, they could actually possibly, depending on the deck that you have, they could be flying a little bit. They're floating. I see it as a little bit stagnant, though. I see it as the thing you want to happen isn't quite...
It's not happening just yet.
Yeah.
And you have Temperance, and it's telling you that you have to be patient for this renewal, or be patient for the thing that you want to happen.
Because it looks like there's something that you started to build, maybe with others, because it's a Three of Wands. There's something you were working on. And sometimes wands can even be spiritual search too, but there,
or creativity too.
Yeah, I'm seeing it as you were trying to build something, starting to build something, but something feels very stagnant, and it's just saying temperance. Of course, sort of one of the ultimate patience cards.
Ultimate of patience.
And it's almost like a time to sort of glide. You know, Kevin in his deck has a card called gliding, where it's kind of just these birds just gliding along. It's being patient and. Go ahead.
Okay, it's being patient. And you have the Eight of Cups where you're walking away a little bit from opportunity, but it's reverse. So it's basically telling you to come on back and, you know, sit for a spell. Don't give up on everything just yet. There's still room for improvement. There's still room for growth.
It's very much a reading about patience. You know,
yeah.
Some of them ask you to take action and to charge forward and be, you know, Knights of Swords and Wands and all these things.
Yeah.
This seems to be one of being patient, and but still walking, because in the Eight of Cups, the guy's walking away.
But
it's reversed, so it's like, okay, this is a slow, patient journey. Get things
together.
It's about
together. The turtle, not the hare.
Yeah, and the Knight of Pentacles is telling me, the Knight of Coins, some people call it, or Discs, is telling me, and it's upright, that's telling me also during this patient time, because the coins often represent physical things, including physical pleasure.
Right.
And sometimes people associate it with also like getting information together, all these kind of things, research, patience. That's the kind of reading.
Getting your paperwork together.
This is
getting your mind together.
Kind of a waning.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Cool.
And how do you feel about the reading?
Yeah, it's, you know, I do feel kind of stagnant right now.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Final solution card? Like,
sure.
Okay, how do we, what's a good idea after this patient,
yeah.
Perhaps?
Yeah. That'd be good.
And.
Queen of Cups.
Ooh. Okay.
That's another, let's be patient.
She's staring. She's studying the cup, studying her emotions.
Yeah.
Studying the creativity.
Be calm about everything.
Yeah. There's calmness, cool water.
Okay. Yeah.
But
that's
still
good.
Have to be patient. Not everything is set in stone yet.
However,
okay.
Your first card was a Three of Wands.
Yeah.
So still take intelligent action. This, by saying patience doesn't mean don't do anything.
Yeah.
It means taking calm, intelligent, good action
balance.
With working with others, because three is often the number of working with others.
Yes.
So maybe an intelligent project starting with working with other people, maybe getting out there and finding, and this is exactly what I'm getting from this, just on an emotional level now, going out and finding an interest that you already know, like something you really love and are into, and maybe joining a group or something like that.
And cultivating that.
And maybe meeting somebody to help you.
That makes sense. Yeah, I've been wanting to do that, so that makes sense.
Yeah, like it could even be like, a political group. I'm not trying to start a political conversation.
Yeah.
It could be something like you always wanted to do yoga.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever the case is, some group that sparks your interest, a charity, whatever it is.
Yeah.
That
sounds right on. Sounds about what I've been thinking about. Cool. I'll do that.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
Bye. All right.
Bye.
Now I'm walking back outside to the computer. And we're going to turn your microphone off, but you can still remain and listen if you like. Okay. Yeah. One of our chat room people says, in Ethiopia there's a word, ifua. It means enough is enough, frustrated and running out of patience. And I think they have a show of their own because the name was Ifua Edge Radio. So, and welcome, by the way.
Welcome.
Everybody. And it's, we're coming down to about 13 minutes. This is our Mavon episode. We did a little ritual earlier. I'm just looking back at a little more of the chat here. Yes, love the nickname. And welcome, everybody, for joining us.
Welcome.
And all the new folks. I see a few new names out there. S4. And, of course, Full Edge Radio, and the guests, the various guests that come in and out. And back to our discussion, we were talking a bit about this time of year and the thinning veil and dreams and things like that. And I had mentioned before, you know, sometimes you have a dream that teaches you a lesson, and sometimes you see a very dark side of yourself, you know.
Yes.
Or an inactive side of yourself, as it was the case in one dream that I referred to. And I sort of agree with the emotion of the chat room person, Ifua, mentioning, you know, enough is enough. And that was a theme a little bit of our discussion earlier about dreams, is reminding you to that there is action that we can take.
Yes.
To make things better, and that we should pay attention. I don't have a political show here, folks, but I do encourage people that to pay attention to when new laws come out and when things come out that are tyrannical. I've mentioned a few on my show, but I try not to make my show overly political.
Yes.
But more like just about some of the issues themselves. Like here in Virginia, for example, I think this was before you were the hostess with me, Janice. We were talking about drones here in Virginia, and if you've ever seen these things, they're like these little drone planes that they use in the Middle East during the Iraq War and Afghanistan, and the governor in Virginia is all excited about using these to fly over cities and towns here in Virginia, and it's like, you know, little drones with cameras on them to kind of watch.
Oh, Big Brother.
Oh, big time. And it's not conspiracy theory. He's excited. You can go look it up on, you know, YouTube, and he's happy as can, you know, I don't know what soft money he's getting, but he's just very happy to have
Donald?
Everything.
Oh.
Yeah.
Big Brother.
Oh, yeah. And I got a response from that episode from someone who will remain nameless. I'm sorry. Somewhat nameless. If you can interpret that call.
I couldn't. Darn.
Someone actually on a pagan website who was like acting like I was paranoid by discussing this. I'm like, no, I'm just letting you know what's going on. And I understood their position. This person considers himself to be a futurist, and he's all for technology. Some people worship technology, you know. Just because it's new and technological doesn't mean it's always a great idea. You know what I mean? I don't think it's a great idea. Some people are, it'll save manpower. I'm like, I don't give a crap about any of that. I don't want these drones.
It's going to save manpower. It's going to take away jobs. How is that working?
Yeah. Yeah, during a recession. So,
how's that working?
And they're pointing to the successes. Oh, we've had success. Law enforcement has used these. Maybe I don't always want law enforcement having these successes. Did you ever think of that? But
yikes.
Again, without getting too much on a pedestal. But, you know, it's a real issue. The government's just almost giddy like a schoolgirl about these things, if you look at some of his interviews. And so I think it's important to find out who your local Congress people are and contact them about these issues, because you'd be surprised in some ways how few calls they get and how sometimes just a few constituents can sway them in a direction. A lot of these folks really want to go unnoticed. They really just want to relax in that easy chair and go to these boring meetings
and do nothing. Yeah.
I ran for office before. I mean, those meetings, they will lull you to sleep. That's how they win. They don't win anymore by, you know, breaking down the door with guns a-blazing.
No, those days are over.
It's death by meeting. You go to these
those
things.
Days are over.
Yeah.
No.
You like, I like the quote from Gandhi of, you know, there's no need to use violence against government because that's what they specialize in. But now they're getting pretty good at nonviolence too, but it's but they will sort of lull you to sleep oftentimes. And, you know, you go to these congressional meetings. I used to go to Annapolis. I used to live in Annapolis. And another funny thing was back in those days.
I used to live in Baltimore. So
I'm from Baltimore.
Yeah, all right.
And maybe home of the least attractive accent anywhere. With the heavy ew.
Ew, new, hon. Watch the Oreos.
If anybody is familiar with the Baltimore Orioles, it's the baseball team. But, and the state bird for Maryland. However, what I was mentioning before is the bars in Annapolis during when the local Congress was in session would raise the drink prices by a dollar. I remember that. But yeah, you could go, you know, you would see a lot of the local congressmen there hanging out. And I used to talk to them and say, hey, why are you guys doing this and that and the other? Some of them just looked like, God, they wish they would go away. And I mean, I was being very polite and civil. I wasn't being obnoxious, waving signs in their face. But some of them would talk to you, you know. Some of them would buy you a drink, you know. Some of them were very responsive. And there was one, I won't say his name, I guess, on the air, but there was one particular who I loved talking to. It was a Democrat, kind of an eccentric character. He would kind of almost look happy to see me, you know, whereas the other guys would see me. If they got used to me being there, they'd have, yeah, avoid me. He'd come over, hey, man. But it was an interesting experience. I don't really do the political activism much anymore, but wow, did we drift off of Maybon, huh? Where are we?
No, it's still the change of season.
That's right.
We have the big presidential race coming up, which
that's true.
I won't talk about because I slip out things every once in a while.
Oh.
But, yeah, it's good to talk about the politics and everything.
Yeah, like I said, my thing I was trying to steer clear from is becoming an angry political show. I just don't want that kind of show. It's actually much more challenging and more interesting to me, being more of a community show where I, you know, kind of talk about community and art-based things as well. And to me, it would be very easy for me to turn the microphones on and start just ranting about what pisses me off in politics. I think those guys have it easy.
Yeah.
But some of them do good work. If they agree with me, they do good work. Ha-ha. And Janice, of course.
Yes, of course.
So I'm going to go ahead and go back to the chat room, check on the phone lines. But anyway, that quote by Gandhi I was mentioning was about how, you know, the government does violence very well. So, you know, violent revolution is not the way.
No.
It's what they're very good at.
Yes.
But they've also become very good at lulling you to sleep in those sessions. They start getting into the legal jargon, and you're like, what law are we talking about again? Is this the one I showed up to comment on? I saw one law where it was a gun law, and on the back of it, they threw something. This is what they do. They piggyback. They threw something on there about, like, DWIs, like, on the back of this. It was weird. They would just combine, then there would be some environmental thing, da-da-da. But we'll step away from that. I'm going to go back to my phone lines.
Okay.
And see what we have here as we're kind of winding down on a casual Wednesday here. Okay, nobody's on the phone currently.
Okay.
We have a few minutes left. And thanks, everybody, for joining us. We have a couple new names there in our chat room.
Yeah, thank you all for joining us.
And we do. We're having, as I mentioned, we're having kind of a laid-back Wednesday today. We'll be back to being a bit more topical soon.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about
food.
Food. We'll be talking about, I want to interview this amazing percussionist as well, who travels the world, so he has some great stories about traveling the world and how rhythm and drumming and things, you know, bring people together. And he's a master of so many different little percussion instruments. Named Tom Teasley, if you want to look him up. Going to do a show about herbs and herbal tea soon. Going to do a show about education with and paganism and education with Thea Sabin, as well as an interview with a temple of Thelema, person. And looking at my notes here, I also want to remind people of our Friday shows. Technically, it's like two shows on Friday. We have Kevin Baird's show, The Walking on the Sidewalk. He created an Oracle deck called the Horizon Oracle, for those of you that don't know. And he does a show centered around motivating the self to step out of the sort of basic corporate cube world.
Get out of your head.
And using this Oracle deck as that he created is the one he uses as sort of an inspiration for that and for creative moments. And he's interesting. Kevin is a friend of mine. And
a friend of mine.
Yeah, yes. He worked with you at the television station for a while.
Yeah.
Right? And also later that evening on Fridays, technically Saturdays, it looks like on the schedule, but it's Friday evening at midnight, is Jesse Ann Nichols George. And her show is called Activating Compassion. She's starting a book tour, some other things. And, of course, Zari on radio on Thursday. And I hope everybody had, and will continue to have, as the day is still very young, a nice autumn equinox.
Yes.
Few dates. It technically comes on around the 22nd, but, of course, this is when our show.
Well, I'm having mine's on the 22nd.
That's right. Yours will be there.
Yes.
Yours, which I don't think I can make because I'm working.
Oh.
So, yeah, you're having a barbecue then, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing the grocery list now.
Is that what you're writing over there?
Yes.
You're going to have to bring me some then on next Wednesday.
Oh, I have to. Okay. I'll save it for you.
What time does the barbecue start?
3.
Okay.
See, the number of friends together, completion.
That's right. But anyway, folks, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And we will see you next Wednesday on Main Street Universe, the show reminding you that the mysteries and possibilities of the universe are closer to Main Street than you may have ever imagined.
This full moonlit night, an infant cries in the great void of silence before we knew time. A miracle spawned the dawn of life. Hear all the stories of how we came to be. Our legends lift and our hero themes that share the secrets of our